Yeah, Film Vault.
Where am I plugged in? I'm over here. How about that?
Yeah, welcome to Film Vault.
How are you doing?
I'm looking at the light to light up so to let me know when to
Don't
talk,
worry
and
about
it's
that.
Over here.
Don't worry
it's
about
blocked
that.
By headphones. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to Film Vault. Thank you for joining us this week on the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Excited to have you here for biggest show of the year. The Vaulties.
It is.
The 2013 Vaulties. This is the best. Listen, award season isn't over.
This joke again. All right. All right, this joke.
It was originally your idea.
Let's
actually.
Do this. Let's do the joke. So, okay, the award season's over. Everyone thinks.
No, no.
Oh, no.
Award season is not over until we ever say.
Not by a long shot. Yeah. No, normally it's what you say.
It's a great gag. Right. It's a great gag.
It's a good gag. Can I do you?
Go ahead.
Do a little Vaulties here today. It's time to put 2012 to bed.
That's right.
Well, let's just put it to bed.
It's overtired. It's overtired. Let's tuck it in.
The best films we've seen this year.
Give it a kiss on the forehead.
Yeah, it's time to put it to bed.
Turn out the lights. Tuck it in. Put it to bed.
Got a good list, Brian. It's actually a phenomenal year in filmmaking.
I agree. I think it's actually been a very good year in movies.
Going.
Yeah. And too many times people are like, oh, crap, you're in movies. Not about
it's
this
easy
year,
to say that.
In the past, it's easy to say. It's a hipster thing to say. Crap, you're in movies. Not this year. This has been a fine year, 2012.
Before I forget, how's Christy?
She's great. Why do you ask?
Where is she?
Right. She was in New Jersey last week, and now she is home.
She's at home right now.
Well, she's in her bed, I hope.
Mm-hmm. She seems like she's been doing a lot of traveling.
She has been doing a lot of traveling. She also work.
Does that worry you?
I often ask her if she has a road boyfriend,
yeah,
and she kind of laughs. I'm like, oh, don't worry. I'm talking about you say that.
You ever make her prove where she is with a little FaceTime?
I follow her phone. I have a tracking device.
Find my phone?
I have a tracking device. Find my iPhone.
Okay, yeah, so everyone loves to be negative naysayers.
Where'd that come from? Why are you asking me about Christy?
Because you were talking about bringing your goddamn dog in here tonight. Again.
Oh, that was a joke.
And I'm like, is she gone again? You only bring Charlie when the wife's out of town, and it seems like every other week you got to bring in Charlie.
I've been issued the order by you not to bring Charlie
to
the studio.
Why?
And every night I come in, here's Stanley.
I hate the canine. Don't like that dog.
Oh.
No, I hate canines in general.
He's adorable.
No, I love that dog. There's just strict mandates around this place.
Strict.
All right, and we're already flying under the radar.
I understand. It's not that big of a deal.
All right, and unless you want to risk
it,
there's a good chance that, you know, you bring Charlie in, and next week the Film Vault sounds something like this. Hey, this is Anderson. Coming to
I'm talking to you from my iPhone.
Brian, from Christy's bed, because it's empty, because she's not here.
That's right.
We should do it in your bed.
We should do it. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it was a very good year for films. I can't remember if last year it was great or not, but I know that this year was good. I had a hard time paring my list down to 10. That's right, 10, Brian.
I think 2 years ago was good. I think last year may have been not great.
I also have six also-rans. Now, my 10 movies...
Last year was The Artist that won Best Picture. Right?
It was. Yeah. Upsettingly so. 10 really solid movies. I have five that are in the limelight. It's going to be kind of interesting when we go down our list, the way that I've laid it out. I think you will appreciate it. And just kind of revisit some of the movies that I think down the road we are going to be more apt at remember
right.
than some of the other ones that are larger. That's how it kind of comes down. Like I still go back to 1991 when Goodfellas lost to Dances with Wolves. Mm. You don't hear people quoting fucking Dances with Wolves here in 2013. But you hear a lot about Goodfellas.
That's
you
right.
know, the movie that sticks with you is most deserving. Yeah. So I got some that I think it'll be a good list. I'll do 10, but 5-1 because I got the 5A, 5B. It'll be good. What's with all the goddamn naysayers, though? And just earlier tonight, actually, I was defending myself because Michael Catherwood, was suggesting that he was yelling at me about how I have a podcast and how I have a podcast where I talk about movies I hate. And I said, how dare you, sir? I have two podcasts. and I talk about movies that I love for the most part.
For the most part, you do.
That being said, Flick Fashion.
Oh. Are we starting right now?
Let's do a little Flick Fashion.
Okay.
Got a couple movies I hate that I like to talk about. One that I love.
Let's hear it.
Are we doing it? Are you going to do your spiel? Come on.
No, I got no spiel. Oh, Flick Fashions? Yeah, every week we confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson, before you start...
Oh, you got more to talk about, Christy?
No, not about Christy. I feel the response to our last episode overwhelmingly not positive.
Now, okay, I couldn't tell because I was out of town and I got a text from you talking about you're like overwhelmingly positive and unanimously positive comments about last week's episode.
The early returns were not positive.
I'm off the grid. I don't know. I'm out where there's snow.
Right. I was actually in the desert. How about that? I was
fat
in spring
people
training.
Don't ski.
Spring
fat,
training.
Fat people don't ski.
No, they go to Arizona and watch the Giants.
Oh, a lot of fat people out there.
Actually, no, but there were a lot of people enjoying their beer.
I was by far the most rotund man on the slopes.
You're going to say that a lot.
Yeah. That's not true, Brian. That's very rude of you.
You're looking
to
good,
say.
By the way.
It's very mean.
Hey,
you
good.
Know what? Speaking of which, let's get, before I forget, go through a whole goddamn episode, go ahead and plug your little cancer thing you got coming up. You haven't done that in a while.
Oh,
I feel bad.
I haven't done that in a while.
I feel like a dick. Go ahead.
Speaking of skinny people, join me in Las Vegas, if you like.
Could you kill his mic, Logan?
Don't do that.
Cut his mic.
There is an organization called Stupid Cancer. They are set up specifically to help people in their 20s and 30s with cancer.
Did they go
adults.
With retarded cancer first, and I thought that was too much?
Yeah, it was retard cancer.
Tard cancer.
Tard cancer,
that's
yeah.
kind of sending the wrong message.
You know what? Back when it was founded in the 90s, it was okay, but it's since become sort of verboten.
Right.
So they go with Stupid Cancer
verboten.
Now. Stupid Cancer now, and they have a yearly summit in Las Vegas, and it's kind of just an excuse to get out there and party a little bit, although they do have a lot of breakout groups, a lot of support groups, and actually some interesting stuff, and they've asked me to be a speaker. It's at the end of April.
Do they know what they're getting themselves into?
I hope they know, but they've asked me to be a speaker regardless, and I'm not getting paid for it. I'm just happy to do it and give back to the cancer community. And if you know someone who's affected, maybe it's you, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a loved one, tell them about omg2013.org. That's omg2013.org.
And you guys party?
That was how it was explained to me. He's like, it's just a big party, man. And it's like,
I kind of want to go.
You should go. You're sort of part of the support community.
Yeah, I was, dude, listen to this hipster.
You may see some people there you know.
I've been hanging out with cancer people long before you, bro.
You definitely were. Think about that. I'll bet some people, because obviously some people you at your
own. Oh, I'm sure you'll run into people that I know, for sure.
What percentage of people from the camp?
Got a big footprint there in that cancer community.
What percentage of kids from the camp survive for any number of years? What percentage?
95.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more
like 90. No, cancer. Jesus Christ, where are we going with this? But childhood cancer, the rates are phenomenal. I've used phenomenal
but
twice.
Your
I'll try
camp
not to
was
do that
for
again.
Kids who are more farther down the road.
Initially, it was set up for kids who were almost all terminal because back in like the early 80s, most kids who had cancer were terminal. But since then, they've made such strides in the medical community, Brian, namely because they're kids. No one likes to see a sick kid. So it's at about a 95% success rate these days. I could be misquoting my camp, but that's what I hear from going to camp. Because every year I go to camp, there's always 2 days of refresher courses, and I get to learn about
gotcha. You're refreshed.
Catheter.
Oh, before I forget.
Kinds of cancer.
Sorry, reminded me. There's a registration fee. It goes to pay for, like, whatever.
Of course.
But if you put in the code BALDBRIAN, you get something like 20% off. Which
can
is
they click through on Amazon to get that?
No,
that's too bad.
Yeah, no. But Ball Brown gets you some percent off.
All right, 17 minutes in. Are we 30 minutes
anyway,
in, Logan?
I was Let's apologizing for last episode because I had I did something I don't normally do.
What is that?
Well, you're going to love this because I'm going to blame the chemo.
Uh-huh.
Now, I had my chemo. We normally record the show on Wednesdays.
Uh-huh.
And normally I have my chemo infusions on Fridays.
Okay.
But I changed the schedule list last time. And it was the same day I had the chemo. And it was very early in the morning. And
anyone
lack
who's
of sleep.
In to listen about movies is long gone.
Lack of sleep.
Thanks for sticking around.
Point
guys.
Is, I was shot out of a cannon a little bit. I apologize for the interrupting and all that stuff.
Oh, the interrupting. You're kind of glossing over that.
You interrupted me.
Yeah, you know what's ironic is you interrupted me to get to this point.
That's a good point. Oh!
It is very true.
Anyway.
Hey, people interrupt sometimes, all right?
Everyone, I do.
Oh, you absolutely do.
I do.
And on last week's The After Disaster, Mike Carano, he attacked me.
Ah,
he told me he had a bone to pick. I think I'm quoting directly, and he was very upset with me for interrupting him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me! You're the king. The only person that interrupts more than you is Mr. Bishop. Mr. Bish.
Oh, wait, I'm more than Carano?
Yeah,
oh.
I think these days you can't. You usurped his title there.
This episode, no interrupting.
You just interrupted me.
Shit.
Here we go.
Starting now.
Flick fashion. I'm sorry, guys. It took so long, but here we go. Uncomfortable flick fashion for me. I'm not going to say the names. I don't do shout-outs. Guys, I love you. I love interacting with you. I love going back and forth with the listeners. Learn about tons of great movies from the listeners. And a lot of great conversations.
It's a lot
great.
Of good recommendations.
I get chills texting back and forth with some of you guys. I know that sounds kind of lame. But,
you mean on the Facebook?
Talking about movies that I love and stuff. And in my AndersonCowan.com, I get the emails over there. However, when you're asking me to give you shout-outs, can't do that. We're not gonna open that fucking door. And I understand that it's cool to hear your name on your favorite podcast ever.
Shout out in terms of what? Like, oh, this guy told me to see this movie?
Yeah.
What would be the harm in that?
No,
right, anyway.
Well, because I'm inundated. I'm choking on way too many goddamn recommendations, And it's like I take time to look every single movie you guys suggest. If I haven't heard of it, I look it up and I see what the rating is and what Fuckflix thinks that I'll like it. If it's below 3, I say thanks for letting me know about it. But also, some people just say, "Hey, just say my name on the podcast." It's like, "Nah, I can't do that." But every now and again, I'll watch one, and a lot of time I'll talk about it fondly on here on this program. Sometimes I don't like it at all, and I feel uncomfortable. Now, I saw one a little while ago. A listener, I'm not going to say her name, suggested that I should watch The Vicious Kind, Brian.
She's part of the 8%, the female listener?
No, it's a male, I believe.
Oh, I thought I said she. Sorry.
The mouse died. Adam Scott is in this one. Hey. Brittany Snow. J.K. Simmons, who was part of my top five character actors.
Bald actors, too.
This is marked as a black comedy, dark comedy.
What's it called?
On Fuckflix. It's called The Vicious Kind.
Okay.
It's about a heartbroken older brother. Adam Scott plays a heartbroken older brother, and he's recently had a terrible breakup, and he's hanging out with his brother because he's not allowed in his own house anymore because he's fucked up so many times. I think he's bipolar or something. Also, guys, I know I was hard on the bipolar community a little bit. I was talking about the ladies. All right, I've had ex-girlfriends that are bipolar. Tough to deal with, especially that time of month. Oh, I'm scoring points with the ladies right now.
Luckily, you only represent 8% of the listenership.
I got a couple different, very heartfelt emails from people who are suffering from bipolar, and they were very hurt. And I wasn't trying to step on toes. You know what I mean?
But you did.
I was talking about the ladies there.
Oh. Well, that's better.
I'm a little bipolar, right, guys? So I can talk bad about my own kind. But much like that overrated movie that came out this year.
Did like a Billy Bob Sling Blade thing.
Silver Linings Playbook, bipolar people aren't that much fun to watch on the screen for long periods of time. And I feel like Adam Scott's character is a little bit bipolar here. He was definitely an asshole, and it wasn't a dark comedy at all. It was a depressing drama about a heartbroken, selfish prick who was dangerous at times and never really found anything to laugh at. I did not enjoy this movie. A lot of people did, though.
It's really?
7.0 on IMDb.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, there we go. The Why did you like it? What was good about it? Was there anything funny?
I don't know. It was just
compelling. Did I miss every joke?
I didn't think of it as a comedy. I thought of it as a drama.
Yeah, you know what? In the Company of Men, it's a really, really dark comedy. You know? There's definitely parts that are you're supposed to laugh, even if you're one of a very select few. There's really nothing here. Like when she punches him, when he tries to almost rape her in the market, was that funny?
No, nothing. There's nothing really in your face that's very funny. It's all very subtle things. Like
it was a character study. A lot of people like this.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good breakup film. I've been trying to get you guys to do top five breakup films.
It is a good breakup film, and maybe I would like it more if I knew I was going in. I was ready for a dark comedy, and I was sold a bullshit bill of goods, Brian.
You're sold a bill of goods.
So, you know what? Maybe check it out knowing that it's more kind of like Family Ties. Go back to Family Ties. Not that funny.
TV show?
Very dramatic. Yeah.
Oh.
Not a lot with
Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Never saw it.
People thought of it as a sitcom, and I guess it was technically, but...
There's a laugh track, right?
You're feeling a lot worse.
I mean, there's a live show or whatever.
You're feeling good. So Vicious Kind, maybe I went in with the wrong frame of mind. I did The Unthinkable.
Oh.
A little movie called Amore.
Oh.
It's in theaters.
Saw it again.
Directed by Michael Haneke. I refuse to say his name the way that they say it at the Academy.
Haneke.
He made a movie last year called The White Ribbon, which I've been... A couple people have told me that I should check this out, and I do like some of Michael Haneke's films. I liked Cachet. I love Funny Games, both of them. He did it twice, Brian. He did Funny Games, the German version, then the Austrian version, and then he did the American version. And I liked Benny's Video. I think my problem with Michael Haneke is I cut my teeth with Funny Games, which was hilarious in all the wrong reasons. And it was harrowing, and you saw magnificent acting, and you really, really... felt the fear of home invasion as well as the humor of the sociopaths that took over. It was almost like it felt Kubrick like at times.
Kubrickian.
However, all of his other movies, I don't want to say all of them, but when you start with the best, you know what I mean? White Ribbon is a movie that takes place, right before World War I.
Ooh.
All right.
It's a tough era.
Yeah, definitely. Get the sense of what it feels like to live in a small town in Europe, and all these like weird things are happening. Like somebody puts out a line, and the doctor is riding his horse back, and he falls over this invisible wire, and his horse dies, and he breaks his collarbone. And who did this? And it's not even so much a whodunit. It's just it's 2.5 hours long, and it's like a fable. He's more like he wrote it as well, Michael Haneke. It's the same guy that did Amore, and it's like it's like he writes fables for adults, and it's almost more like a book.
Right.
And it's completely humorless. It's black and white. Beautiful. It was up for Best Cinematography. Really pretty
really?
Movie.
The Oscars? The White Ribbon?
A couple years ago, 2009.
The White Ribbon?
But nothing, I mean, I think I was supposed to take back, like, it was all about innocence and the loss of innocence, but it was just droning. It was like the kind of movie that your professor would love and, you know, try and make you feel stupid for not liking. So I say, fuck you, Haneke. I don't like that. And I think I've given up on you. I don't know if I'm ever going to see ever anything ever again.
Wow.
That you make.
You're always, like, trying to chase that Funny Games dragon.
I know. I am. It's true.
It's like M. Night Shyamalan fans always trying to get after that Sixth Sense.
Finally. Flick Fashion. I'm going to put Flick Fashion to bed, Brian. As you
Please tell me you saw something you liked.
I saw something I loved.
Ooh.
I liked it quite a bit, I should say. And that's Eden Lake, Brian.
Eden now, Lake.
This one I found all on my own. I don't have to give any credit to the girl or any of the listeners. I found this one on my own.
Good for you.
Not a big horror guy, as you know. I don't like the slasher film that much.
We don't talk about him that much.
Doing a little research on my own and trying to watch some more of the better rated horror films. This one came, I forget how I found it, but it came very highly rated. Michael Fassbender. Kelly Riley, who you might know from Flight, Brian, she's the redheaded, crazy-eyed woman who was dealing with her own addiction in the movie Flight.
That's right.
She plays Michael Fassbender's girlfriend in this movie. It's an English movie.
What's it called?
It's called Eden Lake.
Eden Lake.
And it's a very, very simple storyline. Okay, it's this couple that are going to this lake to camp,
sure,
and hang out. And he was actually going to, Michael Fassbender was planning on asking his girlfriend to marry him while they were on this little camping trip, okay? Very nice. It's a very peaceful, serene, much like a national park would be out here, but it's like in the woods, right? And everything's great, except there's this band of like punk teenage fucks that are listening to like horrible rap and they got a big Rottweiler with them. They're not like scary punks, they're like suburban brats.
Annoying.
Yeah. And they annoy them, they bug them. And Michael Fassbender's ego gets a little crushed, and he asks them to turn your sounds down, and they don't do it. And you know, a little bit of a fight begins, but nothing much. The kids go home. You realize it's a little R-rated and disturbing when the kids are leaving, and the leader kid like pulls out his actual dick, and he's like waving it at the girl.
Okay, here I go. It's that I can kind see of movie. That, yeah.
And it unravels and gets worse and worse and more horrific and more real and more gut-wrenching, and it is a really, really good movie. Simple, in-your-face, hard fucking core, well-made, well-crafted movie.
From this year? Is it in theaters?
No, it's not in theaters. It's 2009, I think. Oh. 2000, I don't know. Let me see. It's right here. It's on my fucking thing. Mm. But I'm not a slasher film guy. 2008. Not a slasher film guy. There's not a whole lot of gore for the sake of gore. It's more about the thrill ride of it all and, you know, being in their shoes. Also, for those
the
of you...
The suspense of it all.
It is very suspenseful. Oh, it's suspenseful. No,
who's
it's
more
of a thriller.
On this film?
His name is James Watkins, and he's got The Descent 2. He's making he wrote The Descent 2, which is not released yet. But he hasn't done a whole lot. Oh. I'm not real familiar with his director, but he did a fantastic job here. To the point where you know you really like a DVD if you're watching the extras, and I watched like the making of and all this. And
man,
that.
It's been so long since I watched. He looks like me.
He's bald.
It's been so long since I watched the extras on a DVD.
The Woman in Black. He also did that one, which came out this year, and we never saw. Maybe it doesn't come out yet. I don't know. Eden Lake was his directorial debut, and The Descent 2 already came out. God damn, I'm dumb. Anyways, whatever. Eden Lake. And I really appreciated this movie.
Cool.
It's got a fucked up ending too. So one of the reviews that I read, a listener review. By the way, I don't read critical reviews ever because I really care what the critics think.
Mm.
We're not critics. We're like, we just go see fucking movies, right?
That's true.
We just love movies.
You know what you know. You love what you love.
And let me tell you this. Most people that write about movies are so goddamn jaded and awful and hate their jobs because they're failed filmmakers or they wanted to do something more, you know.
And they feel, I think
they wanted
to
cover wars and they have to do films instead, you know what I mean?
I think there's a thing amongst film critics, especially like there's a pressure, I don't know if it's their own pressure or outside pressure to be funny and snarky and creative with your criticism, you know what I mean? Like you can't just say, I didn't like this movie, here's why. You have to like compare it to horrible things or you have to make some joke about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
you gotta
be snarky about it. Yeah.
The Descent Part 2 came out 3 years ago. I'm sorry. I didn't like The Descent 1.
Oh.
I was one of the few. I just didn't think it was that great. I didn't like the movement.
I never saw either one.
Okay. Eden Lake. Who I think would like Eden Lake is our old buddy Logan.
Who's Logan? Oh, Logan.
I think Logan would like this.
I'll give it a watch when I get a chance.
It's like, you know what? It's imagine Tarantino making a, I shouldn't even say that, but without all the over-stylisticness of it all.
Mm.
And I meant to mention, too, there's a kid from, this is England. I don't know if you're a fan of that. I was. I liked This Is England quite a bit, and one of the main kids from This Is England, actually the main little kid who probably should have got a mention on the kids.
Oh yeah, top
episode.
Five acting performances by male boys.
Let me give his name real quick because he's good.
Netflix says I'll like it. 3.7.
Thomas Turgoose Yeah.
Turgoose.
He's cool.
The Turgoose.
Like doesn't fare too well in this movie.
No. Things don't go well for Turgoose.
Go ahead.
Number, no, top five, no, wait, what? Flick Fashions for me. Finishing up the films from last year, I saw all the Oscar-nominated films, or at least the major ones, and, well, that gets me nothing. In life, I'm happy to say that I did it. I saw Paranorman last week, came out in August, directed by Sam Fallon and Chris Butler. Did you see this one, Anderson?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I liked it a little. I didn't like it as much as The Pirates or even Wreck-It Ralph. But probably not as much as Brave. So I think it was a pretty good movie. Enjoyed it a little bit.
But way more than the Frankenweenie.
I didn't like Frankenweenie that much.
Look at you. All your opinions about the anime.
I know. It didn't speak to me. Paranorman was good. Casey Affleck is a voice actor in this. So is Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who you might know best as McLovin. Anna Kendrick, John Goodman. I mentioned it before, but seriously, what a year for John Goodman. Three Oscar-nominated films. Flight, Argo, and Paranorman. Mm-hmm. And also, we'll find his way onto our next time we do the top five actors who have not been nominated for an Oscar. He is a worthy candidate.
Hmm? Is he listening or something? You said this last week, like you're apologetic.
But I'm thinking of it now, like when I just could talk about Paranorman. Sorry, John Goodman. Someone get this information to him. Yes, it's not
Dan. That's Dan.
Dan Connor.
Every time he comes on the TV, the wife says, Dan. Like, he's much more than Dan, honey. Come on.
He really is. Although, I guess that's the... Was he famous? Yeah, he was. What, was that before all the Coen Brothers movies?
No.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, nominated for Best Animated Feature, Paranorman was Lost to Brave. Yeah, decent movie. Nothing spectacular, but if you don't have kids, probably not something you have to run out and send away for. But if you do, enjoy. This is a movie that is made for the whole family.
I liked it because it didn't feel like it was pandering too hard to kids, right?
No.
Felt like it was its own thing, and it wasn't like going for cheap laughs or making sure the kids were still interested. It was its own movie.
Yeah,
and
actually,
kids could like it.
Christy, I watched it with her, and she's like, "This is kind of intense, like for an animated film." I'm like, 12-year-old boys will love this movie, and there's some zombie type, you know, gore. I mean, animated, obviously, but she's like, "This is kind of scary."
I love the weird gay twist at the end too.
What was the weird gay twist at the end?
Somebody, one of the cast members, I'm not going to give it away, but turned out to be gay. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, yeah.
Settle.
Yep, I remember. And also saw The Gatekeepers. Boo. This is in theaters now. See this one?
I almost did this, and I'm like, I'll wait to see what Brian thinks.
It's in theaters now?
Yeah.
Do you see it?
No, I almost did, and I skipped it.
I thought you meant you almost were going to flick-fess it.
I don't think I need to.
You do not need to. Directed by Dror, D-R-O-R, Dror Moret is his name. I assume you pronounce it more pleasant than that. It's a documentary about Israel's Shin Bet. It's their sort of internal security force. It's told from the perspective.
Magnificent piece of filmmaking.
No,
it's magnificent.
Not at all. Told from the perspective
so
of
brave.
Six former heads of the organization.
So courageous.
I have to be honest, Anderson, I was really, really bored by this movie.
Shocking.
Which is sad, because I really actually liked the trailer. When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, that's going to be a cool documentary. And it was not. I remember almost nothing from it. I have no recollections from this movie. I may have actually liked Five Broken Cameras more.
Kind of a weak year for documentaries, even the ones that weren't nominated that I saw. Like, I like Chasing Ice a lot. I think it probably deserved to be nominated way before Broken Cameras or what's the gay one?
The AIDS
one.
The AIDS one.
I shouldn't have said
plague.
The gay one. The AIDS one. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, How to Survive a Plague. I thought Chasing Ice was actually much more important, much more present. It's about... it's political. It's about global warming. But, I mean, it has physical evidence of glaciers melting. Right. It was magnificent to watch on the big screen. And no nominations. But that and Sugarman are the only two good documentaries I saw all year.
You didn't see Queen of Versailles?
Oh! More on that later.
Yes, apparently I'm in the minority on this one because not only was it nominated for Best Documentary, it has 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I cannot agree with. Do not run out and see Gatekeepers unless you won't be bored. However, I saw the final movie I saw, Anderson, Delivering Bert.
Ooh. Oh, I've heard of this.
This is a documentary made by our own
very
pal.
Very obscure, right?
I almost said friend and pal. I called him a foul. Our own foul, Mike Carano, co-host of the After Disaster. It is his documentary about two guys' road trip to deliver a wax statue of Burt Reynolds to Florida State University. They go from Los Angeles to Florida, and... They wanted to. They're obsessed with Burt Reynolds. They wanted to win this item at an auction from a wax museum that was closing in Buena Park, which is in Orange County, and they lost
the
auction.
States.
Well, people outside of LA have no idea where Buena Park is.
California,
Southern California.
Orange County is Florida as well.
Ooh, that's
very
good point.
Confusing.
Good point. Man, what if they moved it from one Orange County to the other?
That'd be awful.
yes, they lost the auction, but the Florida State won, and they somehow negotiated. They never explained how, but they negotiated that they were going to bring the wax statue.
You know what? I think
country.
Maybe the best part of this entire story is how. The how in it, and it's not really in the movie.
I agree.
But Mike Carano did not win the bid, as you just mentioned. He was in line to buy because he got something else.
Okay, was he?
Woman behind him was on the cell phone, and she's talking to Burt Reynolds, and he realizes this because she's the one that won. And he hears her talking and saying, "Burt, yeah, I got it. Looks just like you, Burt." So he somehow gets Burt on the phone. You know, it's right. Carano. He does things like that. Next thing you know, he's on the phone with Burt Reynolds explaining that he went there. He wanted to buy it. He's really bummed he couldn't, but he wants to. He's totally willing to drive it cross-country to Florida for him.
This would have been great information for the film, and in fact, mm-hmm. what you just said is more interesting than anything that happens in the film.
Wow.
Here's the problem. It's not hurtful. Here's
Carano,
the problem.
I mean,
Carano is one of the funniest people I know and most interesting people I know. His tales of what he does in his everyday life are fascinating. Mm-hmm. The most interesting guy in this movie, Anderson, is holding the fucking camera. Carano's not on screen more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's 10,000 times more interesting than the two guys who are the subject of this documentary.
Those are his good friends. They listen to this program every week.
Do they really?
No.
No.
I can't remember their names.
Neither can I, and there's a reason for that. They're charisma-free.
They're his friends, though. Okay, all right.
They might be friends, but that's really being Carano, part of the documentary.
When I told Carano I had you watch this, he's like, oh, great. He turned a little greenish, and he's like, now he's going to have to be honest about it on your show. And he wasn't pleased.
It is. You're missing the point.
Let's cut all of this out.
No, it's not made.
This is going terribly wrong.
It's not made without skill, and it's not like not well made.
It's an illegal film. You're not allowed to watch it.
And again, that's like another question. Why is it illegal?
Because Burt Reynolds' lawyers stepped in, and they're like, we don't like the way that Burt
isn't in the movie.
I know, but they didn't like his likeness, and he owns that thing now, and they said, we're not going to sign off on any of this.
I don't know about that.
So it's illegal, but it's online. You can find it. MikeCarano.com.
You might be able to find it at AndersonandBrian.com if you click through today's episode.
Hey, look at that. Look at that.
I love 5 minutes with Mike. I love his online series. And ironically and sadly, I only got about 5 minutes with Mike in this movie. And I was like excited to see it because I'm like, oh, I'm going to see Carano being funny and doing his thing. And I enjoy it very much. That was going to be like a feature length version of Carano on the road doing funny shit. And it's not that.
Yeah.
So I would have liked more Mike.
I agree. I saw this once a while ago, and I remember the sound was the biggest problem for me. I liked the concept of it, and it was, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So I saw it, and Mike, can't wait to see what you do next.
What's that? What?
Can't wait to see what you do next.
Oh, I see.
Coming up next. Speaking of what we're going to do next. Oh, by the way, I should give a quick shout-out to our, speaking of shout-outs, to our feature artist, because we've got some special music coming up next.
We do?
Social Set. Thanks, Social Set from New Orleans, Louisiana, or Nolens.
Hey, Vicious Kind, too. It's available on Fuckflix Instant.
But you didn't like it.
You can watch it right now, though. But I think, I didn't hate it. I like Adam Scott. Adam Scott was great. He was really good in it as a horrible person.
You're right, though. Go into it not expecting to laugh, and you'll enjoy it more.
I went in expecting, where's the fucked up hilarious shit that I shouldn't be laughing at, but I will be. And it's just, it never happened.
Thanks, Social Set. You guys are great. Coming up next, The Faulties. I wish you'd show me. Film Vault listeners, Anderson, getting randy, getting excited, getting a little frisky.
Oh, they're getting naughty.
They're getting a little frisky. Someone bought a, it's time to go over the interesting and notable purchases from the week on the Amazon.com click through over at AndersonandBrian.com. Someone got a, I'll just read what's called a Doc Johnson Lucid Dream 14 Multi-Speed Waterproof G-Spot Vibrator.
Why do they got to have
a twist bottom control in purple?
Such long names.
Don't know.
What happened to Pocket Rocket?
What happened to the Rabbit?
Anyway. I don't like when people say pocket pussy. It makes me uncomfortable.
Someone got a Fresh Balls, the solution for men. Just 3 ounces. Apparently their balls aren't going to be that fresh. Rachel's Pleasures thigh cuffs.
Ooh.
What the fuck are thigh cuffs? I mean, I can imagine, but I never... Are they to keep your thighs hold it apart or hold closed?
Thigh cuffs. I don't know. I'm happy to say I don't know.
It's like
why
a chastity
is it got to be Rachel's?
It's like a chastity belt. Someone got, like a bag that you hook onto your lawnmower. A little side bag there for your lawnmower.
That's kind of an odd.
It's an odd
thing
choice.
To read off. Yeah.
And someone got a power steering pump bracket for their Mustang, a infant car seat. Oh, a New York Rangers hockey bottle jersey.
Not be reading that. You
bottle
should not be
two pack
that.
Of bottle.
Fuck
cozy.
Yourself, you blue cunts.
Oh wow, well, there you go.
Sorry, that's just hockey talk.
I was gonna say.
Hey, I love any NHL fan.
Through.
Love them.
A 100 pack. My God, 100 pack of Crown condoms. What is this? A bed frame? Someone got a bed frame for the king bed. New York
Mark Nash is out with a concussion, Brian. Look at that.
That's bad news. New York Yankees dog collar. Someone got a dog collar for their small dog.
Favorite dog.
Small dog. And finally, what is this? The hell is it? Oh, so they actually still make sewing machines. You know,
hey, look at that.
Sewing machine.
Good. Keep them kids working.
Yeah.
Oh, but the real thing.
Anderson.
Well, it's sad when they have to use their little fingers.
That's a good point.
To, you know, and do thimbles. It by hand. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, movie time.
I hope it is the kind with the foot pedal. You know what I mean?
That's right.
With the plug.
It's like a loom.
Hey, here are the movies that you guys, you kids bought in the last week. Holy shit, you guys were doing some buying. It was some good shit. Alien Anthology. Every week, it seems to you, somebody's buying an alien. You also bought Aliens on Blu-ray. Smart. Makes Brian happy.
Yeah.
American History X, A History of Violence and True Romance. It's the violent triple feature. I just named it that. It's not really that, but it is American History X, History of Violence and True Romance. All exceptionally violent. I think the curb scene in American History X, the most violent of all those movies. Bite the curb,
certainly
bitch.
Up there.
Battle Royale, the complete collection. Why did I just say that out loud? I fucked up. I'm not going to say Blades and Saddles. I am going to say Brave, though, which markedly, smartly won Best Animated Movie of
That's
the
it.
Year. Oh, I
and
like
now
that
now someone
movie.
Owns it.
And I know you guys give me shit for loving it, but hey, this guy, or this girl.
This guy.
She agrees.
This guy.
Crimes and Misdemeanors, one of Woody Allen's best. Die Hard collection, all the good ones. Hard... Die Harder, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Dread. God damn it, I gotta see that one of these days. E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
I have Dread at home on disc.
Easy A.
Got a pocket full of sunshine.
Frailty. Oh yeah, I hope you're gonna watch it with Miss Moves. Fargo. I won't say that one. I don't quite understand Fargo. So over the top. So ridiculous.
So
Goodfellas.
Good.
Hell yes.
So great.
Glorious Bastards. Only Confidential. A little overrated there. Not sure. Lost in Translation is one of my least favorites ever. Why would you mark that one, you son of a bitch? Mean Streets. Tough watch. Somebody texted me the other day, tweeted
it
me the other day. Should
watch.
I watch Mean Streets? I'm like, absolutely. You got to have it in your repertoire. It is not an easy watch, though. But it is good. It's just hard to look at. Raging Bull. Romeo and Juliet? No.
Yeah, Baz Luhrmann.
No, Skyfall? No. Taxi Driver? Hopefully, yes. Blues Brothers, I'll give you a pass. The Master. I think that I'm going to like this movie one day, just not today. Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Wedding Singer? Hell yes. The Wedding Singer? Hell yes. There Will Be Blood. Why don't I own this? Why is this a 1900, not 1800s? Unforgiven! B for Vendetta! Warrior and Watchmen. Eh, Watchmen.
Do you wake up every day and say to yourself, "Is today
Watchmen.
Do I like the Master today? The day?" And you're like, "No, still don't like it."
You know what's weird about the Master?
Every
is
day
like,
you wake up and ask yourself.
The wife hated it, and I was disappointed in it. But the good was so good that I still, on a daily basis, think about parts of the Master. And it's been 6 months since I've seen that fucking thing, and I'm still thinking about it. That says something, Brian. That says something.
What does it say? No one knows. But thank you guys for clicking through on AndersonandBrian.com.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. And now back to the Vaulties.
We're doing top five Olympic films.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2013 Vaulties.
Taking this too far.
Kind of like this music choice. Good job,
I feel like we're that show.
What do you mean?
Like the overproduced. We're doing a
you
bit.
You think
here.
This is overproduced?
Overproduced.
Like
overthought.
Like I found some stock music online. This is overproduced.
We're going to be sued for that little piece of Olympic jargon.
False.
Nope.
False.
Public domain.
Public domain.
It's good to know.
Time for the Vaulties. We're going to name the top five movies of the year according to us. Anderson has two for each entry. has a mainstream flick and maybe an off the beaten path flick.
Hey, I'll see. Hey.
I have a top five, but I also, I mean, it's a great year for movies. I have a second five, which I'll name at the end, which in any other year could have easily made my top five.
Any other year? Okay.
Okay. Just
you know,
about
you know
any
the best things in life are free, they say that? Like Dude, sunsets and
I've heard
like
that.
Nature
I've heard this.
And
yeah.
Sex for most people. Not so with music.
Oh, yeah.
Music
the best
sucks.
The best music.
The free music.
It's going to cost you.
Kind of terrible. Sorry, Luke.
I thought
that
it was
fun.
I
that was fun. It was good. It just felt like we were doing a bit. Made me uncomfortable.
You want to fire him, man? Fire him a long
Let's
time.
Fire it off.
I'm going to fire Logan.
Oh, no, no. He's doing a good job.
Okay.
Fantastic. Well,
I've done
job.
In a while, though.
Above and beyond. Getting that Olympic music.
Number five.
Olympic Oscars.
You want me to start?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Just to watch the Oscar nominees to try and do Olympic events.
Number five.
That old bitch from Amore would just drop dead
Stop
in the
it.
First
Stop
10
it.
Yards of 100
Stop
yards.
Stop it.
Oh, that'd be good.
Number five.
She was actually cute. I liked her.
Emmanuel Riva.
Yeah. When are we going to pay off our Oscar shit?
End of the show.
It was infuriating, Brian.
What was?
And I wish that I brought in my ballot. We'll talk more about this later,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot to... Oh, yeah. My Oscar locks. Shit.
And I'll teach you how you should watch the Oscars when you actually have something riding on it and you're picking stuff. Because apparently you don't do that. Because I came in here tonight, you didn't even know who won. You were on.
I really didn't.
You had no clue.
All I know is I lost all my bets.
Oh, well, you did a bunch of long shots.
I did a bunch of long shots. Number five for me. Number five is my only tie. It's a tie for fifth place. And two Oscar-nominated films for Best Picture, Argo and Life of Pi. These are two of my favorite films of the year. They have to be two of the most mainstream films of the year, at least in terms of Oscar nomination. Life of Pi from November and Argo from October. Life of Pi, Ang Lee's Life of Pi, won Best Director, and Argo won Best Picture. Two really good movies. I enjoyed them very much. I actually had Life of Pi as a long shot to win Best Screenplay because it was supposedly the unfilmable book, and they filmed it.
I like your thinking there, but that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. No. But and it was actually, ironically, Argo that won Best Adapted Screenplay.
My favorite moment of the night, though, where I actually felt like standing up and being excited about something was when Ang Lee won for Best Director for Life of Pi, because I do find that to be the best directed movie of the year.
It was wonderful. It was a great movie. I loved Life of Pi. And my wife is hesitant to see it. She's like, does the tiger die? Does the tiger die? I'm like, I can't tell you if the fucking tiger dies.
It's not a Disney movie, sugar.
But the point is.
I'll watch it with them.
Ooh. What? You son of a bitch.
I'll walk her through it.
You son of a bitch.
Life I told you. Remember when I saw this? Mm. And my wife, I was tears streaming down my cheeks. And I was like thinking, I'm here with my wife, and I'm watching like this magnificent movie, and it's I think she's really into it. And it's like 45 minutes in, and she leans over. Does it end soon?
Oh!
And I would have if that was a first date. I can tell you this: there would not have been a.
That
I'm not joking.
Been it.
There would not have been a second date. I was fucking just heartbroken.
I hate that when I love a movie, and actually, that's going to happen a little bit later in my countdown.
It had something to do though with the family of nine sitting behind us, aisle to aisle, and they were the dad was sitting on one end of the aisle, the mom was sitting on the other, and they were talking to each other.
Brutal.
Oh, it was terrible, and we had special needs behind us.
Oh, no.
Christ, Brian.
Okay.
It was kind of like watching
Life
a movie.
Of Pi and Argo tied for number five
with you. Number five, A and B for me. Number five A is a little movie called Zero Dark Thirty. I was really hoping this would win Best Picture. I knew it didn't really stand a chance. But for my money, it was the best Oscar-type movie of the year. I'm very surprised that it didn't win. I was hoping for that or the old Life of Pi. Neither did because Argo did. So that's my that one's you know, in the mainstream it's up for an award.
It's a very good movie. I love that movie. It's absolutely fantastic.
Here's a little movie, and this is actually quite interesting. When I was looking this up, doing a little research, it's called Intouchables. Now I flick fest all of these movies.
Intouchables.
I believe,
oh yeah, I remember
throughout
talking
the
about this.
Throughout the year, obviously, because these are movies from this last year. But Intouchables is a French movie. It should not be overlooked. It should not be forgotten. While watching this movie, I was enjoying it thoroughly. It's a true life story about a guy who is crippled from the neck down. He's a quadriplegic. He's in a chair. He's a well-to-do. He's got lots of money. He's got power. And he is in need of a helper, helping hand, if you will. And they're going through a bunch of different candidates who are people who have been working in the caregiving community for field for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And then he comes across this black guy who was just doing it to prove that he's looking for a job, kind of like a George Costanza type thing. And he has
the
no manners,
recipient.
And he doesn't even want to be there. And like, everyone else has been kissing this old disabled guy. Crippled is a very old word. Nah, it's not a good word anymore.
Oh,
you should know. You got a placard.
Yeah, I do.
Does it offend you? Let me try it. Crippled.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, you don't like
it. Oh, shit, I didn't even know I didn't like
disabled.
It.
Disabled. Disabled.
Okay. Yeah, handicapped?
Okay, let me try it.
Handicapped.
Look, handicapped. Hey, I don't know. Anyway, so they've all been kissing this handicapped guy's ass. Oh, God, that doesn't sound right.
It's
this
hard to do.
Disabled guy's ass all day, and then this black guy comes in. Is black guy okay? Is that all right? Am I offending everyone with this goddamn movie?
I think black guy's just what they're called.
They prefer black over Native American.
Native American?
African American.
Wow!
Damn it, I'm fucked up.
Wow!
Mm-hmm. Anyways, the old guy looks just like Dustin Hoffman. If you've seen
ironically, the most racist moment in the show history.
The health-challenged main older guy, rich guy, looks like Dustin Hoffman. Everyone's assuming they're going to remake. They are going to remake this in American version. It's called The Intouchables. And anyways, he liked the spark and the pizzazz and the chutzpah of this this black guy from the projects. So he hires him. And
I can't wait till Usher plays the black kid.
It's kind of it's almost like a love story. It's definitely a buddy's film, and it's all about how they come from very different places. but they have so many similarities, and it's very, I found it to be very touching. I was moved by this movie. I liked it a lot. It did get dusty in that goddamn theater. And I was thinking while watching this movie, not everyone's going to like this, but I think a good chunk of our audience is going to like it. It's called Untouchables. In my research, Brian, getting back to that all these moments later, it is considered, it's the highest rated movie as far as IMDb is concerned of my entire list and almost of the year.
Really?
It's the 62nd greatest movie ever made, according to the those who chime in on IMDb. It's number 62, right below The Lives of Others and WALL-E and Toy Story 3, and right above Gladiator, The Green Mile, and A Clockwork Orange.
The Green Mile?
It's better than The Gladiator, The Green Mile, and A Clockwork Orange.
How'd The Green Mile stick on that list?
8.4.
Wow.
Based on a true story. However, the actual true story was a white guy, white older handicapped, oh Christ, white older challenged,
crippled,
walking challenged guy, and a Muslim. Is that okay? Muslim work? Muslim okay?
We'll check that out. We'll
have religion. I don't.
I'm pretty sure you can say what the actual things. What the actual.
It was
term
an Arab.
Yeah.
It was an Arab. In real life, and they show the two at the end of the movie, right. And it was an Arab and a white guy. Going on the message boards and whatnot and reading what other people thought of this, a lot of people hated this movie.
Really?
They thought it was trite, and they thought it was all about classes. I didn't see it as about classes or about race. I just saw it about two different people, two markedly different people, finding similarities and finding a kinship, and I liked it. Untouchables. If you're kind of a pab like me and you're a little sensitive, mark it and add it to your queue. I don't think it might be. Yeah, it's available now. Not instant, but you can send away for it.
Sounds good.
I enjoyed it.
Number four for me.
Or you can just wait for the American version, which undoubtedly is coming. We'll probably be up for Best Picture.
Number four for me is a very inventive movie, a movie that I enjoyed at the time. I thought it was a guilty pleasure, and the more I thought about it, I couldn't shake it. And I was like, that is a really good movie, really inventive, really different. Talk about The Cabin in the Woods.
Ooh.
The Cabin in the Woods from April of 2012. Enjoyed it very much.
Without the Vaulties, how does The Cabin in the Woods get its respect? I'm sure this was up for a ton of awards, but the Vaulties.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, snubbed. And honestly, I do think it was snubbed a little bit by the Oscars.
What's it going to be up for? Makeup?
Yeah, best original screenplay.
Oh, you know what?
It's that inventive and that sort of different.
85% of the Academy is over 50 years
old
or something shit like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
average age is 62.
Yeah.
You know what? It'd be so easy to hate the Academy Awards. And while watching them, I was thinking, I should hate these fucking things, not even watch them. I can't help it. I got to.
I know. I'm sucking in the pageantry.
I was looking at statistics right before the Oscars, and it was like 96% white, 77% male, and then average age of 62.
Where's the problem? Is there a problem? I don't like the 62 part. Get those old fucks out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Cabin in the Woods, directed by Drew Goddard. He is a TV writer. He also wrote Cloverfield and written by Joss Whedon.
Is he related to Jean-Luc Godard?
We're going to look that up. I'll have a look into that. I like this movie very much. Very inventive. Very different. Kind of came out of left field. Smart movie, too. There's some really good humor in this movie. The Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins.
Every time that goddamn elevator came down, and it would ding. Yep. It was perfectly placed. The timing was perfect. And unfortunately, I never got to go back and see this with a fun theater. The theater was about half full where I saw it. I was the only person laughing, and I felt like an asshole.
Really?
But it was hilarious. I was trying to stifle my laughter because I didn't want to be that one guy.
People think it was like a horror movie?
People were like scared and kind of gasping and stuff. I'm like, what the goddamn idiots.
No, this is a very tongue-in-cheek, very enjoyable ride. I liked it a lot. Honestly, in a perfect world, this is a movie that would be up for Best Original Screenplay. Very smart, very clever. Cabin in the Woods.
A little ahead of its time. I mean, the horror comedy is kind of coming into its beginning to kind of shine through and come into its own.
It does feel like a product of the internet, sort of, you know, YouTube, Hulu.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil is another example. Not quite to the caliber of Cabin in the Woods, but it might be like a new genre. Everyone loves to talk about the genre flick. Oh, it's a straight genre flick.
How about 1999's Idle Hands?
Never saw Idle Hands.
Did you ever see that one with Seth Green?
I was forced to see it, and I didn't enjoy it. If I recall, with the hand, and it was like constantly doing things. I liked Evil Dead more. You know what I'm saying?
The original.
I know Hands was good.
I guess the new one isn't out yet, so you wouldn't have seen that. But
I haven't seen that
yet. They look like they ditched the whole comedy aspect of it.
Yeah, I heard. That's weird. It's exactly opposite of what we're talking about right now. Evil Dead 2 is one of my all-time favorites.
Wow. God, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess it's been around for a while. Old Sam Raimi brought that to us a while ago. All right.
I have a twist. Yo. I just thought of this. In the rare instance, it may happen someday. It'll probably happen someday that we, on our Rotten Tomatoes game, we tie. We both end up, you know, 5 points away from the number, or 10 points away, or whatever it is. If we're an exact tie, Logan gets to assign us a movie.
Oh, I like it. It's good. Okay. Did that really happen? Yeah, I guess.
That's
why not? Why not here? Number four for you.
Four for you, buddy. I did Cabin in the Woods.
This is one, Brian. I'll be shocked if it's not on your list. It was on the Academy's list. It's called Beasts of the Southern Wild. Now, a lot of rumors flying around out there. It cost $10,000 to make. His friends got together and made it for $600. I mean, all this bullshit's going on. Sure. The budget was $180. I don't know what it was production-wise. I know that they threw a lot in the advertising and whatnot, especially once they started going after the old Oscar. But this is not a movie that Zetlin made with his buddies, as Dr. Drew claimed when he walked in after the Oscar. You know, he made that with his friends with graduation money he got. You know, he got about $500 and he made this movie. No, Drew. Not true.
I did like this movie, but it's not on my top five list.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Here's the reason why the movie works is because of Hush Puppy.
Yeah. Kavenjane Wallace.
That's right, Brian. Thank God for you.
Yeah, Kavenjane.
Without her, the movie wouldn't work. Read a lot of negative reviews from people who watch this as well.
Really?
On message boards and whatnot. You gotta be fucking kidding me. This movie's a piece of shit. I couldn't watch more than 10 minutes. When is shaky camera gonna die?
There is a chance it's a victim of overhype, because I think when you kind of you get into it and you're like, this movie's up for a bunch of awards?
For sure. If I saw it maybe after because I saw it first run, I got lucky. I was excited about it. I think it was on my top five summer movies or something. So I went and saw
the
week it came out, and it was still very under the radar. And I got to write about it on AndersonCowan.com. I was on there. I don't know if I've already bragged about this, but I said, don't be surprised if Little Hush Puppy's up for Best Actress, only six.
Next thing you know.
I was blown away by her performance. But the movie is a stream of consciousness stream of consciousness movie. Very unique. You're not going to see that very often, where it's just through the point of view of a little girl living in very unique circumstances. Not necessarily depressing on paper, but they weren't depressing in the movie.
Could have certainly been more depressing.
Yes. It was empowering, if anything. And it was very unique in that vision. And I'm very excited to see what Zetlin... Not very excited, but I'm excited to see what Zetlin does.
Yeah, interesting. My
4B, Brian, real quick.
Oh, sorry, you have two.
I flicked fast the fuck out of this a while ago. Straight to video. It was released to DVD. I don't have the... October 2nd, straight to DVD. And then it's Chained. Jennifer Lynch, David Lynch's daughter, made Chained. And I absolutely loved it. And it's not for everyone. It's a slasher movie. Vincent D'Onofrio returns to the big screen, and he is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Have you seen this yet, Logan? I don't know it's a movie you'll ever enjoy, Brian. I can see Logan liking it.
This is scary.
It's a real life, not a real life story, but it's just he brings his mom and the son back to his house, kills the mom, wasn't planning on having the son there, keeps the son as a pet, essentially.
Wow.
D'Onofrio does. Makes the pet. Makes his chained boy do all of his laundry and dishes
D'Onofrio.
And cook food. And D'Onofrio is perfect. He fucking nails it. It's so great to see him back in the big screen.
I think I added him to my top five character actors list.
He names the little boy Rabbit, and the little boy is great, and the movie is just creepy.
Didn't she use a quote of like, I will call you Rabbit?
I shall call you Rabbit. That's how he talks the whole time. It's just a really fun, creepy, awesome movie. And Jennifer Lynch, she made a movie called Hiss as well, which I watched the first 10 minutes of. It's just awful. It's unbelievable. It's the same woman made that.
Really?
Yeah.
She evolved.
Hiss. No, because she made Surveillance before that, which was very good with Bill Pullman.
Hmm.
Check that out as well. Surveillance.
Number three for me.
Chained.
A movie I know you'll agree with because you already talked about it. Zero Dark Thirty.
Hey.
Oh, I fucking love Zero Dark Thirty. This was of the Oscar-nominated Best Picture nominees. This was my favorite. A good movie, a very good movie. I was thinking up in the first two-thirds of the film, and as everyone knows, it's the last third that's really, you know, drives it home. And for me, took it from, this is a very good movie, to, holy shit, that was a great movie. The last third is amongst some of the best filmmaking I've ever seen. White knuckle ride, tense, Anderson, stop playing on your phone.
I'm listening. I multitask a lot better than when I'm just staring at you, because I'm thinking, like, what are you thinking about me? If I'm actually multitasking. I totally agree with you.
The second, tense, white knuckle ride.
The entire second half of it was really good. It took a little while to get going, but I think I don't understand why this movie fell off the track.
I think it was too hyped too soon. I think a lot of people were like, this is a fucking fantastic movie, and then it was just, you know, it was like, yeah, we know about that one. What's next?
I love,
like, Argo kind of snuck up on people.
The character study of it all, having a strong female character.
Yeah.
One of the strongest female characters I've seen in recent memory. I love that. I wish we got more of that in Hollywood. We don't get nearly enough strong female characters. She was fucking perfect.
Jessica Chastain, you're talking about.
Jessica Chastain, who I think should have won. And we don't get enough of that. And plus, they didn't have to bullshit about it. It's like you watch James Bond movies. You watch like Mission Impossible movies. And those movies are, you know, they exist because they're exaggerated versions of things that actually happen in real life. This was like an organic real life.
Yeah.
One of those movies, but you know that pretty much everything you're seeing is real.
It's crazy. If you haven't seen it, you'll enjoy it very much. Speaking of Strong, Mark Strong, a supporting actor in this, is excellent. He has a very rousing speech, a very monologue, very, very rousing monologue.
I'm not your friend.
Yeah. Anyway, good times. Zero Dark Thirty, number three for me.
Intense, but Jessica Chastain. Plus, there's enough to laugh at. You know, it's not all serious and...
There's a couple of very well-timed, you know, break-the-tension kind of jokes.
And she's just such a little fireball of energy. Like, when she's right in the days that it's been since there's been any movement or progress. I mean, she's inspiring. I love that girl. I love that.
Yeah, she's great.
Number three for me. I'm sure it's coming up on your list later, Brian, so I'm not going to go on and on about it. But it's a movie that you actually brought to my attention. The Amanda that I go see, you actually, it was one of the few movies that I actually enjoyed that you assigned me after losing. And that is Searching for Sugarman.
Yeah.
Came out on July 27th, limited, and I went and saw it at your favorite theater and enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
I believe I gave you a hug for having me go see this movie. If you have not seen it and you haven't, and you're lucky enough to not have heard too much about it at this point, which I think might be too late for that, I went in knowing very little about it. And
the less you know, the better.
Totally, absolutely. And I loved it.
Yeah. I just saw it today, and you guys had talked about it before, but I still knew very little about it, so I was still pleasantly surprised.
Good, because I thought like everyone was dead when I went to see it. You know what I mean? With that, I mean that's kind of vague.
Yeah, I kind of thought that he was gonna. I won't talk about it anymore. Stop.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, but the secret is sort of out now. But.
Number three.
Yeah, he's playing Coachella.
Is he?
It's a good point.
Both weekends.
Hey, maybe there's some people who don't even know what Coachella is, and they listen to this here podcast.
That's a good point.
I didn't know he was playing Coachella.
My mom listens. She has no idea what Coachella is.
He's not going to play Coachella.
He's billed for Sunday and both weekends.
Coachella needs to relax. Coachella's hell on earth. Went 4 years in a row. Vowed never to go back.
Coachella.
Coachella. That's like a that's what they call it up north.
Yeah, up north.
Yeah. And number 3B, real quick. Not actually real quick. May 1st, it was released.
Okay.
Video on demand.
The Avengers?
Still is on Instant. The Avengers was on video on demand?
No, it was on May 1st.
It's still on Instant. If you did miss, which a lot of you did, and I highly recommend Get the Gringo, one of my top 10 movies of the year.
Oh, I
still see Gibson's
that.
Get the Gringo. Funny, action-packed, thriller, well done in Mel Gibson style. Really R-rated.
Did he direct it?
Really R-rated. You got to assume that he directed a lot of it. His name's not, he's unofficially, he did not, his name's not the director, but he is producer. I don't think you get to direct Mel a whole lot. I get that sense.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He probably directed his own.
Unless it's Jodie Foster.
Ooh, I heard some things about Vince Vaughn.
Yours, I don't know what that means.
I heard some interesting things about Vince Vaughn on set from a friend of mine who works.
Really?
Who's worked on a couple of Vince Vaughn things.
Like good things?
Like, hey, I'm gonna rehearse this scene, so I need everyone to clear the set, please.
Wow.
Except for my fellow actor, director over there. Yeah, would you please clear the set?
Wow.
Get the fuck out. Thank you. Yeah. You know you don't direct me, right? You can direct the other scenes when I'm not in them.
Wow.
You don't direct anything I'm in.
It's good stuff.
That's Vinny. Vince Vaughn.
I like that. Grab the bull by the horns.
Difficult
attitude.
To work with. Heard it here first. But Get the Gringo. Also, the best part about Get the Gringo, I would have still liked it a lot. It's all about a Mexican prison. Here's the story. An American gets locked up in a Mexican prison. It opens up with a car chase. He gets caught on the Mexican side on purpose because he wants to, you know, he has a choice to make. He gets locked up in the Mexican El Pueblito, I believe it's called.
I don't know.
Anyways, based on a real life prison that actually existed in Tijuana for a number of years until about 10 years ago. And kids are in that prison. Women are in that prison. Families are in that prison.
People, why would kids be in a prison?
On the outside, sneak into the prison. Like if they commit a crime on the outside, they sneak into the prison to hide from the cops.
Wow.
It was all based on reality, true life events. This place actually fucking existed. Apparently, there's another one just like it down in South America. Unfucking believable. If you have enough money and pull, you can actually have your family shipped into this goddamn prison and live with you.
Wow.
They had a full marketplace with storefronts. You go in there. What do you want? Heroin? You want cocaine? You
That's
want little
great.
Girls? I don't know if they went that far, but you want prostitutes?
Well, there are girls there.
They had prostitutes there.
Nice.
Lots of them. Really good movie. Not one to watch with your mom, but if you got a cool girlfriend. Or wife.
If you make a habit of watching movies with your mom.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of uncomfortable things with my mom.
That's a good point.
But Get the Gringo is definitely buried because of the unfortunateness of Mel Gibson's mouth and attitude towards his fellow human beings. But
I like how he didn't discriminate amongst who he discriminated against.
He's still got it. He was great in this. A lot of people are calling it Payback 2. I wanted to say that. But Get the Gringo.
Was okay. Is this better than Payback?
I loved it way more than Payback.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say Payback was only okay.
Get the Gringo. And it was hilarious. It just hit that sweet spot. And it was dark.
Mm. Coming up next, the conclusion to the Vaulties.
The family is here and our friends are back in town. There's no time to worry. Pick yourself up off the ground.
Music, Brian, music. What,
yeah.
It's what brings us all together.
Attention, music heads. Is that what they call them?
No, Brian, don't do that. No. Hey, guys, you know what? If you're not on a label yet, hey, come get some exposure with us.
Yeah, we'd love to have you or your band or your solo act be a part of our...
Maybe it's a rap group,
be a part of our little podcast
here. Perhaps it's
a
rap group.
Perhaps it is. That'd be awesome to have a little rap group. But send along your songs, your info to Logan. What is it? Contact TFE?
There's a button right on AndersonandBryan.com. It says featured artist.
AndersonandBryan.com. And you know what? You get on our show, and honestly, it gets into a lot of ear holes.
It does. People listen to it, and I mean, dozens of people hear this every week.
And you got to send it through Logan, though. A lot of you guys tweet me and you beg me to get your band on here, and it's got to go through Logan. I don't know what his criteria is. I'm not kidding here.
He's pretty discerning.
Logan, what are you looking for?
I'm pretty open to everything as long as it's not too out there and weird and works with a bumper. I very rarely say no to somebody.
Come on in, guys.
Oh, hi there. I'm Alf, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yeah, welcome back. Thanks again to Social Set. Social Set, the feature artist of the week from New Orleans, Louisiana, just like a Hush Puppy. Social Set, and they have an album out now called Celebrate, and you can check them out, socialsetmusic.com or AndersonandBryan.com if you dig what you hear.
If you dig what you hear. So they just did that one... All the songs sound like this, except for that one that was like a full orchestra.
That's right. Isn't that where they did like an award sounding
like the
song,
Olympics?
Apparently.
That was weird.
It's fortuitous that it worked out this week.
Odd choice. That's got Ween. Something Ween would do.
Ween. So Ween. They're not your favorite band anymore.
What's that?
They're not your favorite
band. No, my new favorite band, LAMFO. What's it called? LAMFO.
LMFAO.
We had Red Foo, which I didn't know his name until tonight on Loveline. And no, I'm joking before all of you start screaming that I'm the ultimate hipster. I don't fucking know. My buddy the other day is like, hey, we would be hipsters. We're just too old. I'm like, that's like the biggest insult. You bastard. But
well, there's a great drop if you want to get it from one of the Austin Powers movies where Dr. Evil says, there's nothing worse than an aging hipster. That'd be appropriate for right now.
But Red Foo was in Loveline tonight, and I announced to Brian and Logan when they came in. New band, new favorite band. LAMFO.
That's right.
LMFAO.
LMFAO.
Yeah.
Laughing my effing ass off.
Is that what it is?
Well, it's colloquially what that stands for.
Actually, a very smart, very nice, very funny guy. He was with it.
He's one of the two lead guys?
There's only two guys, I guess, in the band. Alright, enough about Every time I see those goddamn hamsters driving fucking Scions or whatever it is, like, I really am ashamed to be a part of the human race.
Really?
It's awful.
Is that bad?
When they're doing their dance to Sexy and I Know It or whatever it is. Oh my god.
Number two for me.
Oh, I just picture like the worst types of people wearing wife beaters, like in sports bars, going, I love this commercial. Fuck yeah.
My second favorite movie of the year. The movie I like the second best. And for a few months there, it was number one for me. It's been mentioned once this episode by you and Logan.
Mm.
Searching for Sugar Man.
Search.
I love Search this movie. It was really enjoyable. What can you say about it? Everything you kind of want from a documentary in that there was a little bit of mystery.
Intrigue.
A little bit of intrigue. A lot of humor. Not a lot, but I mean a fair amount of humor. A
little style with the cartoon aspect of it.
Inspirational.
Inspirational,
there's some
for
great
sure.
stuff in this movie. And great,
lessons.
And great
lessons.
Music.
Lessons are learned.
Great music you've probably never heard before. In fact,
I thought that was kind of the weak spot.
Really? You didn't like it?
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay, well, point is, some interesting, noteworthy music you've probably never heard before. I've asked music experts like David Wilde from Rolling Stone. I'm like, do you even know Rodriguez? He's like, I had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
Like, he totally flew under the radar.
It's so weird. Well, no, we're giving shit away now. I don't want to talk about
it. But anyway, great movie.
It is weird that no one would travel.
You know, I assume now this is an
American producer would ever travel to South Africa in all those years. You know what I mean? Oh, take his one.
Well, he may, but
to like be there on vacation watching sharks breach or something down at Cape. What's it called?
Cape Horn.
Cape Horn. Yeah. That's all it takes.
Cape Town?
One.
Cape Town?
Cape Town, yeah.
Cape Horn. Sorry.
But the music, I found myself fucking wandering around singing goddamn Les Mis, so I'm coming around. I even made a station for myself on Pandora.
Can you hear singing the song?
Holy
singing
shit, song, I was listening to it very loud a couple days ago in my house as I was cleaning up. I was listening to Les Mis and enjoying thoroughly.
I joke.
I can't stop.
I just, Christine, I have a joke where I just go, 2-4-6-0-1. Because it's so over the top when fucking Hugh Jackman belts out 2-4-6-0-1 at the courtroom.
Jerry Seinfeld, he knew what he was talking about.
What did he say?
He was talking about the only reason why it's popular is because it's so goddamn catchy.
Yeah.
And he started singing the innkeeper song or whatever.
There you go.
Holy shit. Oh, and by the way, just to pay it off, because I know I pissed some people off last week by talking about what happened with me and Mama in the theater for seeing Mama, and I said I'd talk about it on the After Disaster, which I did, after Corona chided me for interrupting,
ironically.
But all I did was there's a black couple in the theater with me. They were talking throughout, yelling at the screen. I didn't like the movie that much, so I decided by myself, like a fucking psychopath, I started screaming at the screen as well. So the three of us were, and I knew it could go either way, but I think since the two of them were on a date, they didn't want to start, you know, he was on his better behavior.
Right.
So he went with the joke, whereas maybe he would have been angry, or maybe he just, I don't know.
If they're married, you're a dead man.
Could be. Yeah. But anyways, all three of us were screaming at the screen, and we actually kind of bonded over it. It was an enjoyable
awesome.
Time. Instead of me, I could turn it around. Instead of me becoming furious, which I would have if it was a good movie, I'm like, don't you go in there! I didn't do the black accent, though. I would have been fucking too far. Number two for me. Is that where we're at? Brian, I might be stepping into number one here, but Looper.
Mm.
Not up for a goddamn thing. It deserved to be talked about at the Oscars. It deserved a nod. It deserved something, whether it was best original screenplay.
Best makeup. Or, best visual effects.
The visual effects. God damn it. How did it not get up for best makeup when he is, even though it's all CGI, but something had to go into that makeup. Something had to be recognized. And it's like, you know what else I like to see at the Oscars every now and again? It's like somebody get up there that won and say, hey, and by the way, Looper deserves a little something, right? Am I right?
Yeah, you never see that. Like, hey, what the hell? You guys,
never see
you
any
snubbed,
of that.
So
like, my friend, because they know that they're all friends. Anyways, Looper, one of the most original pieces of movie making I've seen in recent, maybe the most original movie I saw all year. It was fucking great. Love Looper. If you have not seen Looper, you're in for a treat.
More original. This or Cabin in the Woods?
Looper.
I agree.
Yeah.
They're both
maybe right exactly on par, but maybe they're both side by side. But I think that's a good question. Can I say apples and oranges? That seems to get a lot of people out of things.
It is a little bit apples and oranges because one's going for one thing.
Because I mean,
for
the
another.
Time travel thing's been done so many times, but never quite like this.
One's an ironic commentary on the genre, and one is like diving head first into the genre. Like we're gonna make a kick-ass time travel movie.
Both equally enjoyable, but for totally different reasons.
I agree.
Both had their share of comedy, which you know I need. I was able to laugh freely in both. Love Looper. And number 2B for me, Brian, is one that I've been raving about since the beginning, and that's a little movie called Chronicle.
Yeah.
Now, here's the funny thing about Chronicle. Chronicle's a movie about like kids. It looks very Disney-esque, and they're like in the Pacific Northwest, and
they
find this meteor, and they're like teenage kids, high school kids, and there's three of them. And
it looks kind of Super 8-ish, I guess.
What?
Super 8. It looks kind of like that movie. Like,
what do you mean?
Well, you said it looks kind of Disney-ish, and I didn't think it looked
Disney-ish.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
the characters are kind of like clean cut.
Right.
And, you know, Mighty Ducks. And, you know, I think it looks Disney. It looks Nickelodeon.
Okay, anyway,
kind of.
Keep going.
And, the one black kid is like the quarterback, and he's just wearing his Letterman jacket, you know. And they find this meteor, and they come too close to it, and they get superpowers, and they can fucking fly around. First two-thirds of this movie, I was like, I don't even know. I can't remember why I was even sitting in that theater. I don't know why I went to see it. I saw the trailers for it. It looked awful, and I remember thinking, this is like Twilight for 14-year-old
boys.
Really?
For two-thirds, you didn't like it?
Not that I didn't like it. I was just like, it's so clean, and it's not really saying much. And about the two-third point, maybe halfway through, it takes this turn, and it becomes about something completely different, and it's all about bullying, pretty much, and what happens to people that are picked on enough and hurt enough and beat down enough if they have ultimate power, which happens so often in society, Brian. Not trying to make commentary here, but so often our bosses are people that were picked on as kids, and we got to take the
fucking brunt of it. Now they're taking it out on us.
And I've fucking been dealing with that for 25 years. And it's a really interesting examination of, hey, that kid in high school that gets picked on, kind of with all the school shootings and stuff that go on too, what if he had unlimited like superpowers? What might he do with those?
Mm.
It was and that kid, I'm forgetting his name right now, but we're going to see him. He's good.
I'm with you in the sense that for the first third of the movie, I was like, oh, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with this. It's kind of whatever. I'm on board. And then around the third mark, like in the second act, it really took off. And the third act was really great.
The last third, the entire, the last third of the movie almost is like the climax. Mm. It's one of those movies that climaxes for like 20 minutes, it seems like.
He's going to be playing Harry Osborn in the new Spider-Man movie.
He's going to be huge then, right?
The only part I didn't like about it was it's a found footage movie, and I feel like the lengths they went to
I thought I was done
going
with found footage, and then I saw this, and you know what? It works.
It does, but the lengths they went to
in this movie?
At the end.
It was goddamn ridiculous.
They're like, all right.
Because there was a giant battle going on, and you have to assume that he's using his telepathy to still keep the camera framed on in midair.
It's like, that's a lot of footage that had to be found to make this movie. Like, that's a lot of source material.
Dane DeHaan is his name, and he's like a young Leonardo DiCaprio, and he was fucking great in this. He was also in Lawless. He was one of the soldiers in Lincoln. You see him for a brief moment there. And Chronicle.
Yeah,
he was
Chronicle
great.
Was very good.
He was really good.
How was Chronicle nominated for any visual effects awards?
I don't know. They're just flying, right? There's some really great stuff, especially on the big screen.
Some great stuff.
That stuff with the bus was fucking really, really cool. Yeah. But you know what? I was thinking about it, and if I saw this movie after all the hype, if I saw it now, or if it was up for like a best screen written movie, best original screenplay or something, or God forbid, best picture or something, I would probably be very angry.
Really?
Because it's unique enough and it's fun enough and it's fresh enough that I really, really liked it's interesting enough what they studied.
Right.
But not to the... I could see it being overhyped.
Right. I'm glad it flew to the radar to an extent.
Movies are so funny. You go in with expectations, and that's really going to, you know.
Well, Chronicle is very good. Go see it. Number one for me.
You got something, Logs?
I was just going to say it didn't hurt that it came out in like February, January. It came out in a really dead period.
So yeah, that definitely helped.
When we're really like looking for good movies.
It came out before what we're at right now. It came out February 3rd. It's almost like it would have already been out for a month as we do this one right here. So far this year, I haven't seen Italy that I like. Nothing. Jack Squad. I should also mention that Max Landis wrote a Chronicle. That's John Landis' son for all of those.
I hope I don't have a letdown this year for movies.
Who don't?
You know what I mean? A vacuum suck of bad movies.
Oh, is it time?
I hope we don't. I'm saying I hope it doesn't happen. Like, you know, like a relapse from the good year.
You know, this last year, I guess, kind of lines up with the writers. It's been a few years since the writers' strike, right? 2-3 years?
Yes, so,
and then maybe the movies that they wrote once while they were panicking during their strike. Hey.
Number one for me. Oh, Anderson hit it on the head. Looper was my favorite movie of the year. Looper from September of 2012 is my number one movie of 2012. I loved fucking Looper. It was awesome. It's not a perfect movie, as I've said before. I talked about it a few times on the show. It's not a perfect movie. There's a plot hole or two. There's a couple of uneven moments, but it is so inventive, so different. While at the same time staying true to the sort of genre conventions, that it did a really fantastic job. It looked great. Could have easily been up for any number of Oscars, directing Best Picture, in my opinion, but directing a couple of acting awards, even Best Original Screenplay. I thought it was actually kind of a good chance to get nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Visual effects, it looked fantastic. I loved it. I loved when Garrett Delhunt, spoiler alert, dies at one point in the movie.
Why do you
but
do
it
that?
Looks so great. It looks so great.
No.
It looks so great when he dies. It's such a great moment.
What?
It's just a very minor character. It's a very minor character.
Still, you don't have... And you know what's funny is that has one of the... If we were to do top five death scenes again, I think Looper would be on there,
yeah.
But not for his death.
Ooh.
Somebody else's death. I can't believe you're not...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, huh? Most inventive, creepy death ever.
That scene has stuck with me.
Horrific.
That scene has stuck with me.
Walking across the street never looked so awful. It had nothing to do with cars hitting you.
Never looked so difficult.
Nothing to do with cars hitting you.
It was... what a movie. What more needs to be said about Looper other than go see it? It'll restore your faith in the genre.
You know Brian's taste in movies. This is like a movie made for Brian. Because Brian was gifted a movie that he likes, but it's actually good, it would be Looper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what that means, but thank you.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, you try and like Transformers, you know that it's not really good.
Oh,
you must
you.
Know that somewhere
how dare
in, your,
you.
In your little brain.
I don't know. Little brain?
Yeah, tiny brain.
I have a giant head.
It's kind of true. It's weird.
It's
a lot of
bulbous.
A lot of bone involved.
That's right.
Is that where Bonehead
cranium,
comes from?
Thick cranium. Bonehead.
All right. My number 1A and 1B. I'm not going to go into length about it because I've already been talked about. But
Lincoln.
Cabin in the Woods, ooh. Number 1B. Number 1A, Life of Pi. I've just Life of Pi. When you think, you know, you watch a lot of movies and you think you've seen it all, and you to be that entertained and that swept away. You know, I hear my buddy, a lot of friends actually, who love Middle Earth so much, and they go to see the Hobbit movie and Loader, which those movies, not trying to take anything away from them. They're fucking great. I've seen them all, except for that middle one with the goddamn trees walking. I could do without the goddamn trees.
I didn't see the Hobbit, and I don't have any desire to see the
Hobbit. I'm talking about Loader.
I know, but I'm telling you, that in speaking of these films.
And they see these movies, and they're transported away to Middle Earth. Oh, I'm going to go sit in the theater, and I'm going to be in Middle Earth for 3 hours. It's like, yeah, I was there. I'm back from vacation. I don't want to go back. I plan to go see Life of Pi and be on that goddamn boat at least one more time before it leaves theaters.
How apropos that, well, that's the wrong use of the word, but how appropriate that Cabin in the Woods and Looper be number 1 and 2 for you. They're both very inventive, very similar. We talked about apples and oranges. Pie. You know what I'm saying, though, of your certain choice.
Originality really goes a long way, I think, with not just me, but you as well. And, you know, if we see a lot of movies, we don't watch movies for a living, even though I tell that to the wife. Like, she gives me shit for going to see a movie.
What's movie for a living?
Can I do this for work purposes?
I'm professional. Professional.
I'm a professional movie watcher. And she tells me I'm a douche. Yeah.
You're both right.
Mm-hmm. I write off my movie tickets.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, do you? I don't know if I... sign off on that. Let's do the listener top five, and then
you want to go through ours first?
Then I have a solid okay. You want to do the also rans?
Well, let me do mine first because you had your 1A, your B's. I have a next five, a second top five that in any other year this would have been, these movies could have easily been my top five. But Django Unchained, The Sessions, The Impossible, Skyfall, and Chronicle are five really good movies. I recommend you all see them. They're very, very good if you haven't seen them already.
Skyfall, you kind of got to be a Bond fan, I think.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Skyfall was excellent.
I think it's Bond celebrating Bond.
Yeah, which is why I loved it. But I think
you'd appreciate it a lot more if you like Bond.
On its own, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, my next five.
The Impossible, very, very good as well.
Love The Impossible. The Sessions was great.
The Sessions was very dull.
No.
For me, it was a little dull. My Lister also ran. Okay.
It was your idea.
Yeah. Go ahead, Logan. It's your turn to start.
All right. Number 5, Life of Pi. Mm-hmm. Number 4, Zero Dark Thirty.
Fantastic.
Number 3, The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Number 2, Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
And the listener choice for the Vaulties goes to Looper.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't see
that
coming.
We're all on the same page. Yeah. We're all on the same page, right?
Yeah.
We're all right there.
I can't believe a Looper was number 1 for them.
Django, I had that on my also ran. You know what? It's so hard to fucking tell these days. It's just hard to watch a Tarantino movie. I've said it before, without seeing him smack dab in the middle of it. And since I don't like the man, it's hard for me, you know,
yeah,
to forget.
Get on board.
I mean, when you see the all of you who gave me shit for not liking the man, we all saw his behavior at the Oscars. It was what's the word?
Appalling?
His acceptance speech was horrible.
Awful!
It was so hard
to watch. No, it's like he's obviously surrounded himself with so many goddamn sycophants, he doesn't know he's a douche anymore.
He even caught himself. He realized what he was saying sounded super douchey and then was like, you know what? There were other great people in this category too.
Oh, my neighbor just gave me my, that's kind of weird. I live by her. I live in Hollywood with stars. Peace out. And he does the fucking Nixon thing. It's just, dude, somebody, you know what I mean? You're a genius and all.
You're such a good writer. Write a speech. You're such a good writer. Write a good speech.
And I hate to admit it, but you know, it's like anything. It's like you can't help. I wish that I could just see the movies and separate him from them. But one, he puts himself in them. Two, his dialogue is so fucking Tarantino. It's hard. It's really, really hard. You know, so his movies are almost kind of ruined because of my hatred for him. However, Django was very good. I didn't like it nearly as much as Inglourious, but it's a great movie, and I could see how a lot of, especially the kids, I could see how they could like it.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Raid Redemption almost made the list. Still really like the first half of that movie. Second half is a kung fu movie, if you like that kind of thing, martial arts.
Very fun movie.
You're going to enjoy that very much. God Bless America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bobcats.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Bobcats movie. God Bless America. A lot of fun. Check that out. It's I believe it's streaming. God Bless America.
It was a while ago.
It is currently streaming.
The Queen of Versailles, which listener, I believe it was Andrew Cohen. I don't know. Andrew, I'm bad with names. Anyways, a listener, God bless him, told me to check out Queen of Versailles not too long ago. Really enjoyed that. And you know what? Wanderlust. Wanderlust is one of the top 15 movies of the year.
Really?
It was very good, very enjoyable.
Wow.
Very funny. Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. And there we go.
There you go. Just to bolster.
I can see Logan loving Wanderlust.
I actually didn't like it that much.
You can fuck yourself.
It was okay. It wasn't anything spectacular. I actually like Wet Hot American Summer a lot better.
Oh my God, really? It was so hard for me to get through that. It seems so obvious and in your face.
Just to bolster my point, that is a great year for movies. Here is a list of movies that I saw that are very good movies and just had no place in the
it
top
five. It just never
five
ends this episode.
No, it doesn't. But
you know when they say it's the episode that keeps on giving? This is not in a good way, though.
But these movies warrant mentioning. They warrant mentioning. Flight, Wreck-It Ralph,
Flight
The Dark Knight Rises.
No, Neg.
Dark Knight Rises?
Neg.
Oh, no. These are all good. These are all good to very good movies, above average.
Wreck-It Ralph,
Silver Linings Playbook,
no.
Pirates Who Don't Do Anything. I enjoy very much. Moonrise Kingdom, The Queen of Versailles, The Invisible War, Lincoln, Brave, Magic Mike.
Wait, what's going on, Magic Mike? What's going? I lost you.
You're just naming all movies from 2012.
He's floating away. It's like we're all in the same little boat, like with the Life of Pi, except there was no fucking zebra getting mauled.
I'm just trying.
It was nice and
peaceful. I'm just trying to make the point that it was a great year for
movies.
There
was no hyena.
There's a large.
You're
number
naming
of
horrible films that should
horrible.
Not be mentioned.
Is that Lincoln?
Lincoln is awful.
Lincoln was not awful.
Lincoln is terrible.
Lincoln was not a more.
Lincoln. Well, are you gonna say a more next?
A more.
Lincoln is what like a. You know what Lincoln is? If your fucking high school history teacher wins the lottery and he's about to die and he has no heirs and he has no kids and he doesn't know what to do with the money, and he says, Spielberg, will you please make chapter 16 for me?
Wow.
Here's $300 million. Make chapter 16.
Bring it to life.
And I got to oversee it and make sure that it's accurate and dull as fuck.
Okay, I'll keep going.
Lincoln is not Brian. Come on.
The Master. Sleepwalk with Me, which I liked very much. I made you watch The Raid Redemption, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Ted, Prometheus, which I enjoyed, and Friends with Kids, speaking of Adam Scott.
And some other movies that our listeners liked.
Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook, The Avengers, Safety Not Guaranteed, Seven Psychopaths, Cloud Atlas, Perks of Being
Cloud
a Wallflower.
Atlas.
Finally, someone mentioned Cloud Atlas.
Some of our listeners liked it.
Weird movie. The weakest part of that entire movie by far was Tom Hanks, which is bizarre, right?
Sound like you.
Seven Psychopaths I also have on my list. You know what? It just out-clevered itself. That was the problem. It tried to get too clever. I was on board until like the last 15 minutes. Like, all right, we get it. You're clever. Without Sam Rockwell, you're dull.
And did either of you see Goon? A lot of listeners...
Goon! Was that this year?
A lot of the listeners wanted you guys to talk about
it. I saw Goon 2-3 years ago. It seems.
I feel like it did come out before, but it just like got a wide release on Netflix and everything.
I think
this year.
It came out in 2011. I could be wrong, but I like Goon a lot. If you like really, really hard violence,
wow,
and but in a funny, funny way, it's Cotton Weary, Brian, and
Liev Schreiber.
What's his name? Fister. I can't even.
No, it's Stifler. It's Stifler. Sean William Scott.
I couldn't even remember his fucking character name. Stifler and Cotton Weary together as hockey players.
Wow, Cotton Stifler,
and they're both goons. It was funny. It was cute. It was very cute.
There you go. Now let's wrap up on our gambling.
Hockey,
how about
hockey.
That?
Well, let's pay off the Oscars really quick.
Yes.
And then we'll get to the gambling.
Okay, the Oscars were brutal. Unfun for me to watch as a betting man.
Okay.
When I was gambling, it was a gentleman's bet with you. I didn't have any other action.
Just the number of correct predictions minus the short films.
Wait, what about how do we do with the locks? Or do we not know because Brian did a bunch of obscure locks?
No, I think I was actually 4 out of 5. My upset pick actually was the one I thought was going to happen, but there were no upsets. There everything pretty much was a favorite or at least a second favorite.
I too was 4 out of 5 in my locks, which I think I am every goddamn year. I think I hit 80%. I always miss one. The one that I missed was the production design. Goddamn, Lincoln won production design over Les Mis. And I thought Lincoln was almost all CGI as far as like the background. I thought a lot of it was filled in and bullshit, but I guess I was wrong.
There you go.
Well, Anderson was correct on 14 out of his predictions, minus the short films.
Yeah, so that was at 14 out of what, 21?
Yes.
Solid
24 total.
63%. Shorts. It's not bad.
And Brian.
Not terrible.
Also got 14.
Oh, no, really?
So you two tied.
I fucked up so we're along the line because here's me in front of my poor wife and sister who was watching with us. We were neck and neck. I was beating you. And then we were neck and neck. And I came down to
the very.
I was following closely because it's fun.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's just, where's the fun?
I was following my actual money gambling.
Until the very end. And I lost because I had Zero Dark Thirty to win Best Picture when I knew Argo was going to, and I mismarked it somehow.
Wow.
So I thought that you beat me by one, but apparently
no.
Yeah. Thank God, Logan. Thank you for fixing
you
that.
You are my equal.
However, I was the winner with 16 correct predictions.
Look at this kid.
Wow. 19 if you include short films.
Wow. Did you see all the short films?
No, I just
what
did
are you doing?
I just did research on what everyone else was picking.
What? So what you're saying is the polls that you took on the American public turned out to be true.
It cost like $24 to download all those short films. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm broke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you meant with all the your predictions, not just the short films.
No, with all my predictions, I got 16 correct, 19 including short films.
Oh, 19. Mm-hmm. That's out of 24?
Yeah.
That's pretty goddamn good, kid.
No, just for that?
I always fall apart at the end. Like, I missed Best Supporting Actor. I thought it was going to be...
That's the beginning.
Yeah, or that was the beginning, but I mean, I also missed I missed a couple at the end, too.
All right, buddy.
Wow. Whatever.
Just for that, you're getting 16% this episode.
Well done, bud. I'm proud of our little legs.
Yeah, how about that? He's all grown up.
Because when he started with us, he got like 2 out of the 24. Look at he's learned true? So much.
All yeah. right, well, let's gamble. Let's finish off the gambling for this week.
And then we could put 2012 to bed.
All right, last week you guys
you
gambled.
May think it's over. Oh, sorry.
Oh, wait, I got 15 more also-rans from the week, okay. from the month of February.
Go.
All right, last week you guys gambled on Snitch, the Rock movie. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 63%. Anderson bid 37 and Brian 35.
Wow.
Currently, the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score is...
Don't snitch, bitch.
56%.
Hell to the yeah. Hell to the mother.
Giving Anderson
yeah.
his lead.
Balls. All right, buddy. What I got?
So what was I talking about? Gandhi. You got to go see Gandhi.
No. You actually mentioned some good movies this week that I would like to see, such as Get the Gringo and
check out
Intouchables.
Amor again. Want you to watch Amor, see what you think a second time around. Maybe
we
missed
Get the Gringo and Intouchables.
During the Oscars, when they were doing their little, now we're going to watch the next batch of three movies that are up for Best Picture. When they got to Amor, those fucking bastards, they put everything that was remotely interesting into 30 seconds.
Things that happened.
And I got some tweets from listeners saying, hey, I'm watching this right now, and Amor looks even worse than you guys described. I'm thinking, no way, it looks way better than anything we talked about, because they had the dream sequence, and they really, there was a short little two-minute dream sequence. It was done very well. It was very creepy. That was the only interesting thing in the entire movie. And that took up the bulk of what they showed at the Oscars.
I watched it with Corolla and Allison hadn't seen it. She was like, what was the hand over his mouth? I'm like, that's a dream sequence. That didn't really happen.
Yeah, I mean, that would almost make me want to go see it. Like, holy shit.
Yep.
Where did that, is it a ghost
that's
movie?
False.
Yeah, why don't you check out Get the Gringo. Get the Gringo, everybody.
The Gringy.
Watch with Brian. Hey, let me warn you. There's some really foul language. There's some sex scenes. There's some you see, you know what a 10-year-old boy's organs look like by the time the movie's over.
Come on,
but it's funny. It's done with Mel's
sex
right
organs
there.
Or
it's
internal
safe,
organs.
It's safe. Mel's on screen.
All right,
it's Mel. He's recognizable.
Sure. All right, what are you gambling on this week?
All right, this week you are going to be gambling on Jack the Giant Slayer.
Oh,
the modern take on Jack and the Beanstalk.
A real movie.
Jack the Warm Body Slayer. Get it? Because same kid from Warm Body and
there you go.
But
I didn't get that.
About a boy.
I don't know anything about that.
Is that about a boy?
Wait. Is this?
Why does it sound wrong?
Logan, is this directed by Bryan Singer?
It is.
I'm going to look it up real quick. I'm Rotten Tomatoes. Hold on a second.
Please don't. It's false.
Wait, hold on. Let me do my research.
You can't look it up on IMDb. You can't see what people are giving it.
Well, look what I looked up. I looked up About a Boy. Oh. That didn't sound right to me. About a Boy 2013 TV movie? What? What are they doing?
All right. This is not Stream of Consciousness.
It kind of became that in the last 30 seconds.
It's true. This is Anderson's dream.
Oh, God damn it. I have no fucking clue on this. None. And you won't let me research. Kind of a streak going, right, Lugs? What, like three?
Yeah,
three
you've been winning quite a bit.
Yeah, you've had at least
feeling
three
good.
In a row.
Feeling good.
All right. Hold on. I'm going back on my number.
I'm going with a rookie number. About a Boy is being directed for TV this year by John Favreau. What the fuck is going on?
Okay, what's your
sorry, Mini Driver.
What's your number, bro? What's your guess?
56.
56? I said 69.
Oh,
69%.
No. I almost went with 69.
Wow.
That would have been weird.
Currently, the Wednesday before release, Jack the Giant Slayer has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 68%.
Whoa.
Fuck me!
Wow. It'll probably change. You excited about that?
They usually go down, right? They usually drop a little,
right? Usually.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, Snitch didn't drop that much.
I'm going to try and this night. I've been very busy, guys. nice. But I'm going to try and unearth some of the gems. I'm going to try and mine some gems early for the early year here in movies, like I did with Chronicle last year, Raid Redemption, and Cabin in the Woods. All three of those came out right around this time last year. And so far this year...
So far, nothing.
Not a lot of...
Thank you guys for joining us for our end of the year, well, beginning of this year, end of the year Vaulties episode. Thanks again to Social Set for being a great feature artist from Nolens, Louisiana. NOLA, if you will. Celebrate is the EP. You can check them out, AndersonandBrian.com. AndersonandBrian.com is where you go for everything. The banners to Amazon is right there to your clicking through. We appreciate all that you do to keep us going. It means a lot to us. Comment on the episodes. We read them, and they devastate us. You can check out all the films we talked about. If you're like, oh, what were the movies they loved?
No one does that. No one talks
people
like that.
Come
people
on,
right?
Check out feature artist information, how to become a feature artist. And while you're at it, yeah, check us out on Facebook and Twitter with The Film Vault on both. Yeah? OMG2013.org for my little cancer.
Oh, my God!
What? You invited?
He's helping to plug.
Okay, thanks. And Logan, when's the after set? Or when's your Save for Rare coming out?
I don't know. Who knows?
That's a fantastic plug you got there.
TheAfterDisaster.com and HitOrMissMovies.com. Check out. You may end up staying on that site longer than you think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff.
The joke that just keeps like
a lot of good stuff.
We're doing it for Van Gogh.